Welcome back to the Soccer Specialist Podcast. Belated Happy Mother's Day to all the soccer moms out there. I know many of you spend the day at the fields. Hopefully it was some great weather and some great soccer for those of you that did. So today, what are we talking about? Well, we've talked a lot in the past about things you need to do when you don't have the ball, offensively speaking. You know, the constant scanning the field, checking your shoulder, seeing what's around you, understanding what's around you in terms of the defensive pressure so that you can make a decision and think about what you're going to do with the ball before it actually gets to you. Finding and creating space. Maybe you're not in a good spot when you scan the space around you. Maybe you find that you have to move into another position to be in a better place to help your teammates, which of course involves empathizing with them, understanding, you know, what you would want from your teammate if you were the one with the ball now. Where do you need to go? Where's the space you need to find so that you are in a position to support the teammate with the ball to receive a pass? Again, what are you going to do with the ball when you do receive it? So understanding what else is around you, where are you going to go, those sorts of things. And of course, I talk all the time about the importance of mastering the ball, being very comfortable with the ball at your feet, because it makes everything else, such as passing, a lot easier when you have that skill with the ball, so that if you are under pressure, you don't just panic and get rid of it. But the other thing about that I don't believe I've ever talked about is how being really good with the ball at your feet positively impacts those things I just talked about that you do without the ball before you even get it. You know, think about it. If you are not comfortable with the ball at your feet, if you worry about being under pressure because you're worried about turning the ball over, you're not going to, in your head, you're not going to be focused and engaged in doing those things that you need to do when you don't have the ball. You're not going to be actively scanning and checking your shoulder. You're not going to be finding and looking for those spaces to receive the ball from a teammate because you're not confident with the ball. So not only does if you don't have that ability, that skill, and that confidence with the ball at your feet, everything before you receive the ball is going to suffer as well, which means when it does come to you, it's not going to come to you as often. And when it does, you're not going to be in a great position, which just makes the whole thing even worse, because now the pass has actually gotten to you, but you haven't been checking your shoulder. You don't know what's going on around you. You haven't thought about what you're going to do with the ball before you received it. So now you're even in a much worse situation than you would have been if you were doing those things. Does that make sense? What I'm trying to get at is how much they go together and how the one impacts the other. That being good with the ball at your feet or not confident with the ball at your feet impacts the things you do before you even receive the ball. And speaking of receiving, I think another thing that's really important that is talked about a lot is that first touch, how important that first touch is, and that it's not about just stopping the ball dead at your feet, but it's about taking a first touch with a purpose, which I get sometimes might be stopping the ball dead at your feet. That might be all you can do based on how the ball's coming. But also understanding, and I was watching some games the other day, understanding that first touch, because, and this may not be you, but this is how, in thinking about it, how I feel that most players process what coaches mean by first touch, and I think it's what most coaches emphasize, and that's a ball is played to your feet and you're taking that first touch, which is, you know, 95% of the time the inside of the foot. Once in a while it may be the outside of the foot, but you're taking that, it's a ball on the ground to your feet. But that's not, I mean, that is a first touch, obviously, and I think that's a lot of first touches with how we train and develop players in terms of playing out of the back and just a short passing game and all that, but that's one first touch of many. That pass may be bouncing as it gets to you. It may be, you know, a teammate may overhit it and drill it so it's a line drive, you know, 6 inches off the ground and it's headed for your shins, or maybe it's coming to your thigh as a line drive. Maybe it was a long ball and it's a bounce coming to your thigh. Maybe it's completely in the air and you have to take the ball off your chest, or maybe you're going to have to head it. And so it's, where are you going to head it? Can you control it and head it to space for a teammate? Can you head it in a situation that allows you to keep the ball? Maybe it's a ball you can deflect up with your head and then bring it down. And so all of these different things are first touches as well. And what I see a lot for those difficult to handle balls that aren't necessarily balls you would take with your chest, but lower body, is you see a lot of players kind of run at them and kind of get up on their tippy toes or just jump a little, and they just let the ball ricochet off their shins. We have no idea where that ball is going, right? I think most players, if you are honest with yourself in the games that you play, and it's not all, it's not necessarily your 16 and 17 year olds playing at a high level, but most, your typical youth soccer game you go out to, if the ball is, well, the ball on the ground of the feet has to be much better too, but if the ball is not on the ground, there are not a lot of really good first touches out there. So I think it's important to understand that when we're talking about a first touch, to allow all this other stuff to happen, to scan, you know, to check our shoulder, to find the space, to know what we're going to do with the ball before we get it, then we also have to have a very good first touch that isn't always going to be with our foot. All right, I think that's really, really important to understand as well. And another thing that is really important in the concept is, as anybody who's listened to this podcast knows often, I think we really emphasize one touch way too early, way too often. And that's what leads into all of the problems I was just talking about. We never build a foundation of the player is good with the ball at their feet, which we have to do first. And that's why you see a lot of good ideas with the passing game where the pass doesn't actually connect because the skill wasn't there on the pass. And I would argue, as I have over and over again, the skill's not there on the pass because the players haven't developed ball control yet as individuals before they can do it with the team. And so I think it's also really, really important to understand. And it's important to understand that it's not about one touch. That's the other thing too. It's emphasized so much, one touch, sometimes two touch, but it's basically play out of the back, play fast, play one touch. The ball is faster than the defense. And all things are true. However, the game isn't about one touch. One touch is an option, and you need to develop the skill and confidence with the ball to be able to play one touch. But it's not about playing one touch. There's a lot more to the game. One touch is an option. It's about knowing that you can play one touch if you need to. It's a mentality. Obviously, there's a skill level involved, but it's a mentality, not a rule. There will be plenty of times where one touch is not the correct option. Teammates that aren't supporting you, you're receiving a difficult ball already under pressure, and what you need to do is quickly control the ball, shield the ball from the defense so you don't turn it over, be able to take little touches and find space to alleviate the pressure from that defense, and then find a teammate. Whereas under that same situation, your one touch may have been a turnover, right? You just get rid of it. So please understand, it's not about playing one touch. It's about being able to play one touch when one touch is the correct decision. If you know your surroundings, your teammates, where they are, and where the opponents are, and you understand how much time you have when the ball is coming to, where your support is, where the pressure is coming from, and you see what's going to happen, right? That's what we talk about, that vision and that anticipation. You see what's happening before you receive the ball. Then if one touch is the correct option, you've set yourself up by doing all those things without the ball, having mastered the ball well enough that now if one touch is the best option, you can successfully play one touch if you need to. If one touch is not the best option and you need to take multiple touches in order to make a good play that allows your team to keep the ball, you can do that as well. So in knowing all those things and doing all those things before you receive the ball and developing that skill with the ball, you have the ability to make a good decision. And that could mean two touches, or it could mean three, or it could mean dribbling at the defense. beating a defender completely, beating two defenders before making a pass or taking a shot. Or it could really mean one touch is the best option. So all that, talk about vision and awareness and anticipation and decision-making, all that before you take a touch, it's not to make sure you play one touch or two touch at most. And being able to master the ball isn't necessarily about always trying to dribble through the other team. It's about having the skill set and the mental awareness and soccer IQ to make the best decision with the ball, which could be one touch or 10 or any in between. Right? So if you work on controlling the ball at your feet, you can then more confidently be able to start doing those things before you receive the ball. I really hope that makes sense, okay? So if you master the ball at your feet so that you can control it, you're a lot more likely to do all of those things before you receive a pass that you need to do in order to be a successful player. Hopefully that makes a lot of sense. I was going to get into another part, but I think I'm going to leave it there for another podcast, which I will try to do much more quickly than I did before the last one. Again, hopefully that makes sense. Mastering the ball at your feet is not just about always dribbling through the other team. It's about having the skill and the confidence to do what you need to do and make a good decision, whether it's one touch, five touches, or 10 touches. And it also gives you that confidence to start really focusing on doing the things you need to do before you receive the ball, because now you're not worried about, oh no, the ball's coming to me, I don't want to lose it, but here comes pressure, so I'm just going to boot it, which, by the way, is one touch, right? But not necessarily the best decision, because you just get rid of it because you'd rather knock the ball down towards the other end of the field and, you know, no one really yells at you. And they might even say, hey, good idea, because it looks like maybe you're trying to play the striker through. You'd rather do that than receive the ball and lose it, which I completely understand. That's why you have to focus more and more with the ball at your feet. Focus with the ball at your feet. All right, I'm going to leave it there for now. I'm not even going to shout out any website address. Maybe I should. Should I do that? We'll do it next time. We'll do it now. If you haven't checked out Impact Total Touch Training, which is at impactsoccerperformance.com/impact, T3, the number 3. Go check that out. That's all about mastering the ball at your feet. I think you'll love it if you haven't seen it yet. And other than that, I'm going to leave it there. Once again, I thank you so much for listening. Thank you for letting other people know about the podcast. I really, really do appreciate it. And I will talk to you later.